I want to give a little bit of a just a quick background, and I want to talk about just a couple goals that I have for this season, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and then we can dive right in. So, long story short, we're coming off the holiday season. It is a new year. John and I, you know, we still talk pretty often, and lately we've been talking pretty often about health and diet and our lack of both. More so on the diet side, our lack of focus on what we're eating. Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I mean, this is not an excuse, but I think the holidays, it's really easy to fall off track, and we're both guilty of that.
Sure.
And so, you know, we want to really get back on track with our health, which a lot of it revolves around diet. And so we decided that Skinny Fries is actually going to be about us getting skinny.
Which, you know, was where it came from.
Yeah, baby fat.
I mean, yeah, the idea of Skinny Fries as a podcast name was that I used to love going to Fatburger.
You did.
When I lived in Seattle. Yeah. And I would always order a baby fat with skinny fries. Skinny Fries.
And the guy in the window. Skinny Fries. Right, because the guy in the window did such a great job. I was like, baby fat.
Skinny Fries.
Yeah. So that's where it came from.
We would like to both be Skinny Fries.
Yes.
But right now we're steak fries.
We are. Borderline waffle fries.
At this point, borderline twice baked potatoes. So we are going to work to be Skinny Fries over the next fries.
That's right. So we decided that we were going to use this podcast, this season or this version of it, to hold ourselves accountable, but also to hopefully be able to paint a picture of a journey that we are going on, that we can look back on in 3, 4, 5 months and celebrate. And hopefully, I know we don't have a lot of listeners, and knowing who listens to our podcast, most if not all of our listeners don't have the same weight challenges that John and I may have. But somebody out there might be listening, and they might. And I think one of the things that we want to be able to kind of give back through this, these next, you know, dozen or two dozen episodes is a journey of health and diet and weight loss that can be motivational, inspirational, and hopefully helpful. So, but more so, just being selfish, this is for us. This is for us to hold ourselves accountable. So here's what we decided on. Here's what we decided and agreed on doing. John and I have a spreadsheet that we created, and we, in that spreadsheet, have identified our goal weight, and we have committed to logging our weight every Monday morning. That doesn't mean that we're not going to weigh ourselves independently throughout the week. We may not. That's up to us individually. But every Monday, we're going to log our weight. And that's going to be a measure of accountability and a measure of progress and tracking and motivation. We are taking two different journeys or two different paths on this journey. When we did this journey initially about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, just under 5 years ago, we were both doing keto. That is kind of where we were. If you remember back, that's when COVID started. The world was very different. I think the challenges that we faced were very different and in most cases non-existent, you know, and they've been replaced with different challenges. So it's going to be fun and exciting to see. I'm going back on keto. I am going back on what I have dubbed to be COVID keto, which to me symbolizes a certain level of strictness and adherence and mindset. John, I'm going to turn it over to you and kind of share what path you're taking.
Chico, so calories in, calories out. And the reason is very simple. I actually really like keto and was very successful doing that diet, but I get a really awful rash every time I do it. I've researched the living bejesus out of it, and there are just some people that is an outcome. It causes eczema and they get a bad rash. When there was a global pandemic and I was stuck inside of my house, having that rash didn't really hurt anything because no one could see me. But being out in public every day, I don't really want to explain to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 customers a day that I don't have leprosy. And so I'm going the very classic Chico way. Now I have a series of 7 things I'm actually doing, all in conjunction that will be the diet. And if you want to go through those individually, I'm glad to do that. But I, you know me, I'm a goal setter. So I broke down my 4 quadrants, and in the body section, I set 7 kind of different things that are working together to be the plan.
Very nice. Yeah. And I would like for us to kind of go through those. I think for the sake of time, what I want to try to do with these episodes is keep them kind of short, but not negligent of the key talking points. So I don't have 7. Mine is, I think I would say 3 to 4. So let me go over mine real quick, and then I want to turn it over to you to share your approach with us. But for me, it is a combination of a few things. So logging meals, just like I have been a week at a time, and sticking to that eating plan. Currently, I am operating at a 35% deficit for my maintenance caloric intake, but I'll be changing back up to 25% next week.
What is, so I want that, to start, what is 25%? Just a number of calories, not every
Yeah. So right now, my daily, as of day one, my daily caloric intake is about 1360. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be upping that up to about 1550.
Okay.
In the next couple weeks. But I want to start really aggressive to kind of shock the system a little bit, and then kind of settle into where I was at during my initial weight loss journey, which is about 25% deficit, or about 1550, 1600 calories a day. I'm combining that with intermittent fasting, not because of any reason other than when I have a very limited number of calories, eating them in a smaller window of time is just easier for me.
Yeah, I get it.
I used to do 12 to 6. That was my 18-6 window. I've actually switched it this time around to 11 to 5. So slightly earlier on both ends. The reasoning for that was simply just number of hours in a day. I wake up at 5 a.m. So I go the first 6 hours of that eating, and then the last 5 hours of that eating, I'm usually in bed by 10. So it's kind of like balance it out in the middle. And that's mostly it. I would say the third thing that I'm doing, and this is something that has always worked for me with keto, is focusing on my macros. Specifically, my carb macro is 20 total grams of carbs, not net grams. So 20 total grams of carbs. The other two fluctuate based on my deficit. Right now, I'm at 121 for protein and 89 for fat. And as I increase my calories, the only number that will really increase there is fat. So that is what I'm doing. I made our tracker out for 17 weeks. We are starting on January 6th, and that puts us at an end date of April 28th. So the first 4 months of the year to kind of see how this goes. So that's my approach. John, you said you had 7 things that you're kind of doing together. Would love to hear more about them.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big goal is lose 42 pounds, right? That's my number. I have a body fat goal that's associated with that. In order to do it, I'm going to fast for 300 of the 365 days this year. The reason I did that is that I know that there's a few times when that won't ring true. So I wanted to leave a little bit of space for when that wouldn't work out. No other reason than what you said. I find it the exact same when I'm trying to eat at a deficit. The only way to stay low is to make sure I'm taking out one meal and not snacking. And so when I fast, I can't snack, right? So there's no 10 p.m. go grab some Cheez-Its. No alcohol in both January and September. So a very old tradition for me. A lot of people do dry January. I like to add September. My birthday is at the end of the month, and so I like to add those first 4 weeks. It just feels like a good, healthy way to go into the last part of the year. It's also a very busy season at work, so it makes sense. And then when I am drinking alcohol, I'm going to reduce to 2 days a week, max 2 drinks. So that way, you know, if I'm going to drink, I don't want to destroy my sleep and my body. And so keeping it limited to 2 drinks and not being any more than 2 days a week means that you don't find yourself in a 7-day run, right? pick up a sport, either soccer or pickleball. So, you know, getting back into something I'm doing from a team sport or individual sport standpoint. Do 6 of the Peloton programs. I found those very successful historically. And like you, log every day using the Carbon app.
Very nice. Yeah, I have a couple questions for you for clarification. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned 300 days of fasting out of the 365. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, but I want to get some more clarification. You don't mean 300 days of fasting. You mean 300 days where you're doing intermittent fasting.
I don't. I don't consider, if you're not going at least 15 hours, it's not a fast.
Correct.
You know, just going to sleep for 8 hours isn't fasting. So I'm saying 300 of the days this year, I will fast at least 15 hours. Hopefully they're more like 17 to 20, but I'm not really caught up in that so much. My other thought was to do like a fasting total number of hours goal. My worry is that I would be behind in the year. And at some point I'd go on like a 12-day fast to make it up. And I didn't want to put myself in that pickle.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. Perfect. I love that. I think, you know, you mentioned having a body weight or a body fat percentage goal. I have one for myself as well for the year. Not related to these first 4 months, I would say, but definitely influenced by these first 4 months. And a workout goal, and I have one as well, which is going to be different for me this time. I think the last time when I went through my journey, I specifically didn't. The most workout I would do would be yoga. To be fair, that was also a time when all the gyms were closed. And I, not that that is an excuse, but the main reason why I didn't work out through that journey was because I, knowing my body, typically, and I think everybody's this way, when you work out, you burn calories, which means you tend to be hungrier and then you want to offset those calories out with calories in. And I was very focused on a calorie intake goal every day.
Right.
And if that number is 1600 and I'm burning 500 to 600 every day working out, 1,000 calories I knew would be more challenging for me net. Right. So I wanted to just get through it. But I do want to highlight one thing that you had mentioned to me a long time ago. We were actually talking about a mutual friend or acquaintance of ours and their weight loss journey and how this person lost a lot of weight doing it very different than you and I did. Mm-hmm. You know, eating basically a pizza a day or whatever, you know, they wanted. But the goal, the topic here was you talked about pulling levers and how you have to decide what levers you want to pull. And when you pull those levers, you have to pull them all the way very hard. And so, you know, when I think back to 5 years ago, and I can't believe it's been 5 years, by the way, it's crazy. When I think back to 5 years ago, the two levers I pulled very hard were intermittent fasting and the keto diet, right? Mm-hmm. So like macros, calories, meal plan. I pulled those two levers very hard. I didn't pull the workout lever at all. And I found a lot of success. This time around is going to be different because I am going to pull those two levers very hard. But I'm also going to slightly pull down a little bit on the workout lever. And so I'm a little nervous about that because I think, especially starting with 1,300 calories and working out, even if I'm burning an extra 200 calories a day, that's an even bigger deficit. But I think from my experience with dieting, the first week to 2 weeks are the hardest because you're breaking habits, you're breaking routines, you are eating different foods, you're eating at different times and in less quantities, and your mind is messing with you, telling you that the gurgling in your stomach means you're hungry, which it usually doesn't. It just means there's a gurgle in your stomach. So there's like this mental thing and this physical change that you go through. After that, I think it becomes routine and easy, much easier, I should say. So push through the next couple of weeks and see what happens. And I think you're going to probably experience some of the same in your own way as well.
Yeah, you know, and that gurgling is ghrelin, right? And so once you can get rid of that ghrelin and that leptin and that feeling and deal with hunger, I mean, truly go back. So you and I both were in a really great place, 2020 and 2021. I think we leave that out. But I don't think either of us were unhappy with how we looked at the end of 2021. 22 is kind of when that fall off begins, right? Can you really remember feeling hungry since 2022?
I've definitely been had times when I'm hungry. In fact, what's weird is, when I say defining hunger, there is that mental I'm hungry, and there's the physical I'm hungry. Can I remember physically being hungry? No, not at all. Mentally,
Of
yes.
course, of
And
course.
that is the problem. That is the inherent problem with dieting or not dieting, right? Letting go is, like, I know myself, and you might be the same way. If I eat a meal late at night, or if I eat a big meal later in the evening, I wake up the next morning hungry. If I stop eating at 5 p.m., I don't wake up the next morning hungry.
Right.
And it's not that I'm hungry physically, it's that I'm hungry mentally. So my body is craving that sugar that I consumed before bed, and the minute I wake up, it wants more of it. So it's trying to trick me into saying, "You're hungry, go eat something." So it's a very, I don't know, for as brilliant as the human body is and the human mind is, it's really dumb sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's the Jerry Seinfeld quote? You know, the what is it? The mind is an infinite canvas that can never be controlled, and the brain is a stupid organ that can be manipulated any way you want. Something to that effect. You know, we can definitely trick our brain. The mind is complicated. But in this moment, for both of us, the real risks, I think, is the next thing I want to talk about, are going to be to our own devices, right? The things that we've accepted as normal. So, you know, I've got a list of, you know, kind of some things that I think are risks to our success. What are some of yours that come to mind that you think is going to get in the way?
Days off work and vacations.
Really? Why days off work?
Because when I, on work days, I'm very regimented. I wake up in the morning, I already know what I'm going to eat that day. I cook it, I pack it, I take it to work, I eat it. On days off work, first of all, it's not just me anymore, right? So now I am going out running errands. I might go to a coffee shop. I am eating meals not solo, right? So now there's planning involved around what do you want to eat. We eat completely different things. So then it's negotiating. It's wanting to do meals together, but then also realizing that, what I want, she doesn't, and what she wants, I can't. And so there's a lot more temptation to not adhere. Plus, if I am playing it spontaneously, then I haven't had a chance to actually know what I'm going to eat. Right? I know everything I'm going to eat the rest of this week. And I've logged what I want to eat on Saturday. I know what I want to eat on Saturday. But will I eat that? I don't know. I mean, I have to, right? That's the goal. The goal is you have to do it. You have to stick to what you want to do. And so it is easy for me to plan out. It is not always easy for other people around me to plan out at the same time, right? So that is a challenge. And then the other thing is traveling. So again, we try to get out of town every other week or so, even if it's for an overnight trip somewhere, just to go explore our area. It's really hard to do that when you don't know where you're going, therefore you don't know what you're eating. And even if you did, let's say you go to Napa, you might want to go eat at a really nice restaurant in Napa. Well, that really nice restaurant in Napa isn't necessarily keto friendly or even calorie in, calorie out friendly, right? You're not going to go to a nice restaurant and get dry chicken breast and broccoli. That's not exciting. So anyway, there's those temptations. Those are what I think are really hard for me. What about you?
A little bit of, well, not a little bit, the opposite. I do not want to meal prep. I don't enjoy doing it. One of the things that the reason that keto during COVID was so successful for me is that I was at home. So I'm great at home. At home's easy. At home, I can happily look in a fridge and pick the best healthy option and make it fit within my, because I don't want to plan for the week. You do that. I don't like doing that. I want to have my meal, log it, and then know what I have left and figure it out from there. And so when we got done with being at home, we went back to the mall where you and I both used to work at, and there was a salad and go there. So I just ate the same salad every day. I mean, that was, I don't know if you remember, but I literally ate every day the same. I never wavered. Which two problems, it's gone. That salad and go is gone. And I don't think I could eat it if it were open. It doesn't taste the same as it used to. So I have to either develop a skill that I don't have, which is meal prepping and build something that you're good at, or I'm going to have to find a place near the mall that can consistently provide me the macros that I'm looking for. So like I was looking today, have you been to the Protein House before?
I have.
Super good.
Yep.
Love that place. Not cheap. Very good. But there's one on the way to work, and you can do a meal prep from them where you just pick it up every day or pick it up every week. And I was debating, is that a better option? Like, because I know me, and if I don't, I won't make it at home, and then I'll go to work and then I won't have anything. So I'll just grab Chipotle because it's available. And what I'll tell myself is, hey, it's okay because you can just eat there and not do the crazy thing. And then I just watch them pile on the cheese and I don't stop mm-hmm. them. And I'm like, oh, it looks so yummy though. And so I really, 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 really need to spend this week figuring out what the like sustainable mechanistic way to solve this is, because my problem is the opposite of yours. I don't, a vacation is actually not that stressful to me. Well, one, we don't have any planned. It's coming up on busy season, but two, even when we are, like, I can skip breakfast and lunch and go eat a steak and be fine. So it's so funny that you and I are so opposite there.
We definitely are. I think, you know, the big key takeaway here for anybody who's listening is going to be to, like, you're making a big change in your lifestyle at this point by understanding and accepting and moving forward with this idea of changing the way you eat, whether it's consuming less or changing just what you physically eat and or consuming less. The less that you can change, the easier it is going to be for you to adhere and stick to whatever you are changing. So if you just completely flip upside down everything, it makes it more challenging, right? So in your case, you are changing what you're going to eat and how much of it you eat every day. If you then also try to change your daily routine and try to meal prep in something that you don't like doing and log your meals a week in advance that you don't like doing, now you're giving yourself five or six different things that could potentially be a pitfall. And as soon as one of them is a pitfall, you just throw your hands in the air and quit all of them, mm-hmm. right? So it is about like changing as little things as you can so that you can just focus, laser focus on those one or two changes that you've made to just stick with what you're doing. So I get that. So that for that, what I'm saying is I'm not going to try to talk you into meal prepping or logging your meals a week in advance or anything. It's not your style. Don't do it. I'm the exact opposite, as you just pointed out. If I don't do that, it is hard for me to stick to what I am doing.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of, it is a fun kind of yin yang opposites that we have going on here. This time around, both in the way we approach it, but also in the way we are approaching it. Again, going back to the beginning of this conversation, I'm doing keto, you're not. That's very different. I am logging, you're not. I am cooking every day, you're not. I would say Takaya is a good option. You have to find specific things there, though.
Yeah, the two problems with that is most restaurants, you really can't trust their macros or what they say. The difference with the Protein House is they are literally designed for this. This is their entire MO.
Oh, Protein House is the best option.
So they
Protein House is going to be your best option.
They're like super, if you're getting 300 calories, you're getting 300 calories. So a little bit of Takaya is like, and their menu, their actual like macros are hard to find. You can't just like.
And Protein House, like you said, is right on your way. You can plan it ahead of time, go pick it up. You're good to go.
Yeah, I'm on their website right now. I was looking at what the options would be. Okay, so risks. So that's one. That's a risk for me and a risk for you. I think the other thing that pops in, at least in my brain, I was watching a YouTube video. A friend, Chick-fil-A Drew, is on a quest right now. He follows this guy, Danny Mattel, I think is his name, Martel maybe, and he, you know, it's called like Project Visible Apps, I think is the name of the project, and he has a personal trainer to join, and this is like several thousand dollars. This is like a, you know, you pay to be held accountable kind of thing. And we had dinner on Monday, and he had referenced this video, so I watched it last night. And this guy was at the place where he's going from, you know, 15% body fat to 10% body fat, you know, that like crazy place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he like eats one meal prep meal where they accidentally put seasoning on it and it derails him for a week. And I was like, ooh, that's a whole different level. That is not the level that you and I are at. We are at like, just don't eat pancakes.
No. I don't know if I ever want to get to that level. I want to get to a level where I just can be happy with myself.
Sure.
I'm not trying to get to six pack level. Although 15% body fat is my goal for this year. The lowest I've been is 17. So I think getting down to 15 is a 2% at that point is a big change. so that's my goal. But, yeah, I think this is going to be an exciting journey. Again, we're going to do this every week. Our goal is to, we log our way in Monday mornings. We're going to record our episode Monday nights. My goal is to get these episodes out in advance. So what I mean by that is, historically, for those who've been listening to our show, we release episodes every Saturday. I'm going to change that up because I think if we are logging and recording on Monday, my goal is to try to get these episodes out by Wednesdays. So a day to edit and post and a day to go live, I think that still remains fresh for us. And then it gives us, you know, for the listeners, more time. I mean, it makes it more real, right? If we're weighing in on Monday and you're not hearing this till Saturday, a whole week has gone by. We're a week delayed. That's not as fun, right? So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. This episode right now, so far, we're at about 30 minutes. I promise these future episodes will not be that long. But they might be because we might have some really.
I don't promise that.
Skinny fries.